Today is election day. An election day is made for a person to choose. When you choose a candidate, you choose the direction which the next few years the candidate will run the neighborhood, the city, the nation. You choose the direction that you want your country or your life to go in. So the truth of the matter is, today is a very good day for us to also make an election, to realize, to choose which path we're going, where we're headed for. And I want to start off with a story, what means choosing a path, and what means choosing the direction that we have to go. You all probably heard that before, in Poland, there was a big Rosh Hashiva called Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. He was killed in the war. He was a very big tzaddik, a very big Talmud Chacham, one of the greatest Talmidim of the Chafetz Chaim. Once, one of his Talmidim, who became a big businessman, came to visit him. And he saw that he was living in utter poverty. He had almost had nothing in his house. He didn't have in his house nice furniture. He didn't have in his house all the amenities that a person usually has in their house. And the Talmud asked him, why is it that you really have to live in such poverty? You can't have all the amenities of this world. And Rabbi Chanan Wasserman didn't answer him. When he was ready to leave, he went with him to the train station. As they were standing in the train station, they were waiting for a train to go in the direction that this person had to go home. Rabbi Chanan asked him, on the other side, there's a beautiful train, a train with beautiful cars, beautiful seats. Why don't you go on that train? Why are you waiting for a different train? So he says, what do you mean why I'm waiting for a different train? That train is headed in that direction. I'm headed in the other direction. Rabbi Chanan told him, listen to what you just said. You have across the other side a beautiful train. You're waiting for a train, a simple train. You tell me you can't go on that beautiful train because it's headed in that direction. And you want to head in this direction. That's the answer to your question that you asked me. A person has to know which side we're headed in, where we're headed for. Are we headed for this world? Are we headed to live the world of Gashmius? Are we headed to live the world of Olam Hazeh? Or do we realize that we are headed for a different reason? We're here for a different tafkid. We're here for a different direction. What do I mean that we're here for a different direction? Let us see what the Mesilat Yesharim tells us. Let us see what the Mesilat Yesharim tells us, what a person has to think about and make a cheshbon. All of us believe be'emunah shleima that we have a neshama kedosha. Every one of us knows. What is a neshama? What means a neshama? A neshama means a chelek elokai mimal. It means that we have in ourselves something that is part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, a davar kodosh miot. That's what a neshama means. Ask the Mesilas Yesharim, can it be that in order to enjoy this world that we are enjoying, the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, had to bring a neshama all the way from Kisei HaKavod and bring him down over here? For what? For what did he take a neshama that's so holy, a neshama that's so great, and bring him down to this world? For you to enjoy this world? For you to enjoy this world, he didn't have to give you a neshama. He didn't have to give you such a holy thing like a neshama. He could have given you just a guf. Just like guf. What do the other creatures in this world have? Only a guf. So why do we need a neshama if we're only here for Olam Hazeh? That means that a person has to start thinking, why did we get a neshama? For what reason did we get a neshama? If we got a neshama, it's here for a reason, the neshama. In order that we should understand what we just said, We will tell you over a second story from Rabbi Elchanan, which will bring the point clearer and we will be able to grasp more what we're talking about. Before World War II, in 1938, Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman came to America to raise money for his yeshiva. He had here a student who came from the other side, came to America, and as most of those who came to America at that time stopped keeping Shabbat, stopped keeping Torah, and had a big factory, a big sewing factory. He produced clothes. Rabbi Elchanan went to visit him. Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman went to visit him. And he came up, and the student saw that his Rosh Yeshiva, who he learned by in Poland, came to visit him. He asked him, "What did you come for?" So it shows him that on his coat, there's missing a button on his coat. I know that you have a factory that they sew. So I came that you should sew on the button. The Talmud says to Rabbi Elchanan, "That's what you came to me for? Really? That's what you came to me for? Only for that? You came all the way from Poland, only that I should sew on your button? That's what you came to me for?" So he says, "Yes, I can't go around without a button sewed on." So he takes Rabbi Elchanan, shows him around the factory, goes down to the bottom floor where they're busy sewing. They sew him on the button. Rabbi Elchanan wishes him all good and goes home. This Talmid at night couldn't sleep. How could it be? How could it be that my Rosh Yeshiva came to me, all the way to me, and the only reason he came to me was to sew on a button? It can't be. There must be something more to it. In the morning, he decided he's going to go visit him. He comes in the morning, knocks on the door to Rabbi Elchanan and tells Rabbi Elchanan, "Rebbe, why did you come to me yesterday?" So he tells me, "I told you why I came to you yesterday. I came to you to sew on a button." "Rebbe, it can't be. You came all this long way only to sew on a button. That's what you came for?" "Yeah, that's all I came for." "It can't be. I don't believe it. The whole nesia, the whole traveling only for to sew on a button, it doesn't make sense." Says Rabbi Elchanan to him, "Listen to what you're telling me. You understand it doesn't make sense that I should travel so far only you should sew on a button. So why don't you realize that it doesn't make sense that the Neshama Kedosha should travel from Kisei HaKavod all the way to this low world only for what? To eat and drink? Only to enjoy this world? That's what it came for all this long way. So how could you leave the Torah mitzvot? How could you not keep Shabbat? How can you not keep the Torah?" That's what Rabbi Elchanan told him. What does this teach us? Exactly what we just learned from the Mesilat Yesharim. Exactly what the Mesilat Yesharim tells us. Mesilat Yesharim tells us we have to realize that if we have a Neshama Kedosha, the Neshama Kedosha didn't come to this world only to enjoy this world. For that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have to give us a Neshama. If He gave us a Neshama that traveled so far from above the Kisei HaKavod all the way down to this world, that means that it's here for a lofty reason. It's not here just for such simple things, such mundane things as this world. It must be, it's here for a different reason. That's what a person has to think about. So we realize that we have to think about which direction we are headed in. Are we headed in the direction of Olam Hazeh? Are we headed in the train that has all the amenities of this world? And to go look for more of this world and to head down deeper into this world? Or are we here to head in the other direction? Let me just for a minute explain that a person has to realize what means a Yid? What means being a Jew? What is the tafkid of a Jew? Let us take a pasuk of Shlomo HaMelech in Mishlei and let us discuss what Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei. Shlomo HaMelech tells us in a pasuk the following words: "Im tivakshena ka kesef ukimatmoinim tichapsena oz tovin yiras Hashem." If you will look for it, if you will ask for it, you will have a bikush for it, You will have a need for it and a want for it, like you have a want for money. Im techapsena, and if kematmoinim techapsena, and you will look for it as you look for treasures that are hidden. Oz then tavin, you will understand yirat Hashem. You will understand what means fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chofetz Chaim in his Sefer Shem Olam goes at length to explain what it means that I have to look for Yirat Hashem if imtevakshena kakesef. The Chofetz Chaim, I will not go into the Arichut HaDvarim. I will tell you over what is Negea to us. The Chofetz Chaim asks us a very simple question. What does a person need money for? For what does a person have a lust and a ratzon to have money? Why does he need money? He needs money for three things. To buy a house. He needs money to buy clothes. He needs money to have food. Three things he needs money for. One, to be able to have where to live. Secondly, he needs it to have clothes. Third, he needs it for money, for food. That is the kloliot in general, what a person needs money for. You can find other reasons, but most of the other reasons are included in these three reasons. The three basic needs of a person: a bayit, where to live. It could be with all the amenities of a house, but a house. He needs clothes. It could mean a lot of clothes. It can mean nice clothes, but he needs clothes. And he needs food. Every person needs a basic amount of food, and then he has, well, he has extras in food. So everything is included in these three inyanim. Says the Chofetz Chaim, let us realize how a person looks in the world to come. In order that you should understand what we are going to tell you, we will tell you over another story from the Chofetz Chaim with a moiridika lesson. The Heilige Chofetz Chaim in his older years, when he was very, very old, sent a message to the Yeshiva Kedosha in Radin that he wants all the boys of the yeshiva to come to him at 5 o'clock in the morning. He has a sod, a secret to tell them. They should gather in front of his house 5 o'clock in the morning. He has a secret. Can you imagine how these boys were excited? They didn't see the Chofetz Chaim already a long time. He was in his old age. He stopped coming to yeshiva. Only a few people at a time could see him. And now they're going to be zocheh. The Chofetz Chaim is going to tell them a sod, a secret, 5 o'clock in the morning. There must be something very, very, very special. And everybody got up and came to the small, small hut that the Chofetz Chaim lived in. And the Chofetz Chaim walked out with his wet hands that he had just washed them. And he started to say Birchat HaTorah. He started to say the Baruchot that a person says in the morning. And he said the first Beracha. And he made the bracha of Al Netilat Yadayim. Then he made the bracha of Ashayat Tzar. Then he said the following bracha: Elokai Nishama Shenatata Bi. Then everybody knows the Nusach HaBracha. And the Chofetz Chaim started to explain what this Nusach HaBracha is. And this was the sod. This was the secret that the Chofetz Chaim told us. You know what he said? Ata atid litla mimeni v'ata atid le'achzi ra bi. Both of the hays, both of the ot hay have a mapik hay. Litla le'achzi ra. So the Chofetz Chaim said, don't think that when you're going to come back down latid lavo, don't think when you're going to come, when Mashiach is going to come, you are going to get a different neshama. The neshama that you give back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the same neshama that you're going to get back. Ata atid litla mimeni, you are going to take away the neshama from me. Va'ata atid lachzira, that neshama. What did the Chofetz Chaim mean? What did the Chofetz Chaim want to impress us? What was the secret that the Chofetz Chaim told us? What's the great secret that we just heard here? You want to know what the secret is? The secret is the following. We have a neshama kedosha. We do two things with our neshama. We do mitzvot with our neshama, and we sometimes do the wrong thing with our neshama. When we do the wrong thing, we have to wash the neshama. For that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has ways that He washes the neshama with Yisurim Chas V'Shalom on this world, and Chas V'Shalom with other ways in the world to come. That He cleanses the neshama. He takes off all the dirt that the neshama got covered with in this world. He cleans it. But how big is that neshama? Has that neshama expanded, or has that neshama stayed small? Our goof, we are sometimes worried it shouldn't become overweight. Our goof, we're sometimes worried it shouldn't become too big. The neshama kedosha has to expand and expand and expand. The neshama kedosha has to grow. The neshama kedosha has to become very big and very light and give out a miridika och. That's what we have to do with the neshama kedosha. Says the Chafetz Chaim, imagine the busha that we are going to have in Olam Abba. Imagine the busha we are going to have when Mashiach is going to come and it's going to be Tchiyat HaMeisim. Everybody's going to walk around with a neshama. And we are going to see people with neshamot so big, so huge, so much light coming out of them. And our neshamot so small, so dark, because we didn't give it to eat, we didn't give it to drink, we didn't give it anything to grow with, we didn't water it. That's what the Chofetz Chaim said. Ata atid litla mimani. Don't think that when you're going to get a neshama, you're going to get a bigger neshama, a greater neshama, a neshama that grew. Where is it going to grow from if it doesn't grow in this world? If it doesn't grow, I will hear on this world that neshama can't grow anymore. That's what the Chofetz Chaim said as sod. Ata atid lachzira with a mapikei. That neshama comes back to you. Not a different neshama. That same neshama kedosha. Tells us the Chofetz Chaim in Shem Olam, after we understand this secret, a neshama needs to have to eat. A neshama needs food. It needs food just like you need money to buy food for your guf to live. Just like you need money to have what to eat in order to have food, in order to go on with life, because if you don't eat, you don't live. So too, in the neshama kedosha needs food. And just like you need clothes, so too the neshama kedosha needs clothes. The mitzvot ha'masim tovim give clothes to the neshama. And so that you need money to buy yourself a nice house, what do you think it goes on in Gan Eden? What goes on in Gan Eden? In Gan Eden, everybody has a chuppah. Everybody has a chuppah. In that chuppah, the neshama kedosha lives. Do you know what it means? You know what kind of busha it is? You come to Gan Eden and they try to find for you a chuppah. And the chuppah is a little chuppah. Why? Because you didn't build yourself a big house. You only built yourself a little house in that world. And everybody has a big house. Everybody has such big houses. Here you have to cramp yourself into a small house. Dr. Chofetz Chaim, that's what Shlomo HaMelech is telling us. Im tevakshena kakesef. If you will realize that Torah and mitzvot are like kesef, are like money. Why do you need money? Why do you need treasures? Because you need food, you need clothes, you need a house. Realize that there is a different house that you need. There's a different food that you need. There's different clothes that you need. There's nitzchiyut. Let me tell you something that somebody woke me up a week ago and made me think for the first time in my life something new that I think could change a person's life. Somebody brings you a picture of a wedding. Somebody brings you a picture of a wedding that there are a lot of people there. Who's the first person you look for if you were there by that wedding? You look for yourself. Why? Why? Why do you have a tendency to look for yourself? Why is it that you want to find yourself in that picture? I heard from Adam Goddard last week something, half love a fella. Because a person wants to be a nitzchi. A person wants to be forever. How can I be forever? Everybody knows I'm not going to be on this world forever. But if I have a picture, that is going to be forever that I was in that place. I was someplace, enjoyed myself at a wedding. That was yesterday. What does I have today? How does that wedding become nitzchi? If my picture is in that wedding, then my being at the wedding is forever, because the picture is going to last forever. So I became a nitzchi in my sense of you now for a long time, because my picture is there at that wedding. So that happening that happened at that wedding wasn't something that happened yesterday. It's now, it's tomorrow, because I have pictures of it. I can see it with my eyes. That's why a person looks at the picture for himself. Because every person has a tendency to want to be nitzchi. Every person has a tendency to want to be forever. Why does a person have such a tendency to want to be forever? You know why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very good for us. He was very good to us. He realized that he has to give us that tendency. So we should want Olam Haba. So we should want the world to come. Because we have a tendency to want to be nitzchi, because we have a tendency to want to be forever, that's why we are able to overcome the mundane pleasures of this world, because the mundane pleasures of this world last at the best, the mundane pleasures of this world last 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes. No mundane pleasure of this world lasts longer. No food lasts the pleasure longer. No other kind of food lasts the pleasure longer. No enjoyment of this world, no pleasure of this world lasts more than a few minutes. And then it's gone. You have nothing from it. It's nothing. It's not here anymore. You can't enjoy it anymore. You can't remind yourself, ooh, how I enjoyed myself. That doesn't give you any enjoyment. It doesn't give you anything. So it's only something that's a passing thing. You know what that is? That's sheker. Why is it sheker? Because something that doesn't last is sheker. Something that lasts is emes. Something that's for nitzchi is truth. The only thing that is nitzchi in this world, the only thing that lasts in this world is Torah and mitzvot. Torah, mitzvot, masim tovim are nitzchi. So we have a tendency to look for nitzchiut, so we should look for Olam Haba. Now let us come and understand what our job is on this world. We are all here to build a house. That is the reason we are here in this world. We are here in this world to build houses, to build mechitzot. What is a house? What is a house? Let me tell you over an halacha. In the Torah Kedosha, there is a parsha called Tazria and Mitzora. In those two parshiot, we learn that there is something called Negaim. A Nega can come in three places. A Nega could come on Gufa Adam. A Nega could come in the Malbush of the Adam, in the clothes of a person. A Nega could come in the walls of the Bayit. In the walls of the house, a Nega could come. And the halacha is that when a nega comes in the world, in the walls of the house, you have to break down the house, at least that part of the house, and make a tara. So there's such a thing as a nega in a house. The din is, the halacha is, a nega only comes in a house where there's four walls. In a round house, there are no negaim. Why? Why is there such a halacha? That in a house that's round, there's no negaim. There's only negaim in a house that has four walls. You know why? I will explain it to you very clearly. The reason why there's negaim is only because there's kedusha. Where there's no kedusha, there's no negaim. They do not come, a nega cannot come in a house of a goy. It only comes in a Jewish house. Why? Because where there's kedusha, the Rabbi Hashem made, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, that when there is a chesaron kedusha, when there is missing kedusha, there should come a nega to wake you up. That's what a nega is for. A bayit that does not have four walls, mechitzot protecting it from the street, it's not built with clear mechitzot, it's round, which you can't see the mechitzot clearly. In such a bayit, there can't be kedusha. Kedusha needs four walls to make kedusha. You need four walls to make kedusha. You need clear mechitzot from the street, clear mechitzot from the world. 2 weeks ago, I was asked to address a high school and to speak about the, the trials and tribulations of the world. When you get to, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you to say the Rasha, all preparation in the world doesn't work. Because if he wants you to have what to say, you'll have what to say. And if he doesn't want you to have what to say, you can stand there from today till tomorrow and prepare. The Rasha will not be good. In the middle of speaking, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me a matana, and not for me. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give me matanot, because I'm not ra'ui for matanot. It's only for the tzibur that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses people to give them a matanot. And he sent me a matana nifla'a ad meod. It says in Parshat Noach, you all know what it says in Parshat Noach, a mabul. We took Noach and put him into a teva, into a closed teva. In Pasuk it says, Tzohar ta'aseh la'teva, make a window. Where was that window? In the walls? The window was in the roof. A skylight. Why? Why not in the walls? For a very simple reason. In a world of ra, in a world of bad, you can't have windows to look out at the world. If you have windows to look out at the world, those windows will ruin you. You know, in America, there's a language called window shopping. Window shopping. Shabbat, you're not allowed to go window shopping. It could be it's Isur in Shulchan Aruch to go window shopping on Shabbat. But I'm not talking about the window shopping or walking down whatever street this is and see all the schmutz that's in the windows. I'm not talking about it because to the people that are here, I don't believe that they would ever want to look at what these windows have to look at. I'm talking about window shopping from our own windows, looking out at the street. Why do you have a window in the house? To look out or to bring in light? To bring in light. To look out, we have nothing to look out at in this world. There's nothing to see on the outside. Windows are made only to bring in, not to look out. That's what a window is made for. Let me tell you something pele, something very interesting. It's above where we are holding. It's much above where we are holding. But it'll give us aspirations. It will give us where we have to arrive. All of you know who the Heilige Vilna Goyen was. He lived in the city of Vilna. I don't know if you know where Vilna is. I was in Vilna 10 years ago. In the place where the Vilna Goyen lived in Vilna, today, it's purer than any street in New York. Any street in New York, the streets are purer than any street in New York in that area of Vilna. There's an area of Vilna that looks like the West. I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about the old city of Vilna. You can't see any Ria Asura. You can't see anything bad. At least nothing really bad. The Vilna Goyen in his days, 300, 250 years ago, Zicha didn't see bad. For sure didn't see bad. He had a room. He lived on the second floor. The house is still standing. He lived on the second floor. The Vilna Gaon took blankets and hung them on the windows that no light should come in from the outside. He went to an Erlich Yid, to a Yerei Shamayim, to a Ish Kadosh, and told him, make for me candles. Make for me candles. And the Vilna Gaon learnt by those candles all the time. Why? Why do you need candles? It's light by day. Just take off the blankets and let the light come in. Because the Vilna Gaon said, that light goes through the world. So that light is tainted by the world already. And if that light is tainted by the world, I can't learn Torah B'Kiddushah anymore. So I can't learn by that. I have to learn by a candle, and not a candle that I buy by anybody. A candle that was made B'Kiddushah. Where do we learn this from? Where did the Vilna Gaon get such a thing from? Where did he get such a machshava from? Let me tell you over a Gemara that tells us. The Gemara tells us on a certain person that he was avida, he made that the Torah should not be forgotten. Why did he make the Torah should not be forgotten? He went, this Kadosh, this Amora, and he went and he planted pishtan. He planted linen. After the linen grew, he went and made from them nets. And he made nets and he caught deer. After he caught the deer, he made shechita on the deer. A deer is a kosher achaya. He made shechita on the deer, and he gave the food to aniyim, and from the or, from the leather on the outside, he made klaf, and he wrote the Torah, and he went and learned with children. That's what the Gemara tells us. Asks the Vilna Goyen a question that really it says in Zohar HaKadosh. Can you tell me why you had to go and plant pishtan, plant linen, make nets, catch deer, give the food to aniyim, and then use the leather, use the cloth, the leather, to write Torah? Go to a store, buy cloth, and write. Why this waste of time for Kadosh, Amorah, Tana, to waste time to do this? You know why? Because if you want children to learn Torah b'Kiddushah, and they should not forget the Torah, and it should be that you made that the Torah should not be forgotten, it has to be b'Kiddushah. Not b'Kiddushah when you learn it with him. Everything has to be b'Kiddushah. So he went and planted the pishtan himself, and he made himself the nets, and he caught himself the deer, and he gave the food to aniyim, and then that klaf will be able to impress the Yiddish children that they should learn Torah the way it should be. You know what kind of lesson this story is? You know what kind of lesson it is? This story is that how much Kedushah do we have to have in order to impress our children? How much do we become impressed from the world? How much enters our houses from the street by the process of osmosis, whether we want or we don't want? How much of it just comes in, just travels in? So that's what we have a house for. Not to build a house on this world, to build a house in the world to come. Our houses here are only a symbol for us to be able to do mitzvot, to build a house in Olam Haba. Because that's the house that we're looking to build. We're looking to come to Olam Haba with a big neshama. We're looking to come to Olam Haba with a neshama that has clothes. We're looking to come to Olam Haba with a neshama that has where to live. So what is the house that we build in this world? A house that brings us closer to Olam Haba. A house that elevates our life. A house that picks up our life. A house that has in it Kiddushah. A house that has in it Mechitzot. That we don't have a kesher to the street. We don't have a connection to the street. Let me tell you over a Dover Pella. All of you know who Moran Rab Chaim Kinyevsky is. His Rebbetzin was just nifter on Sukkot. She was a big tzaddikit, a real big tzaddikis. Rab Chaim Kinyevsky was asked a question after 9/11. After 9/11, the government wanted that the yeshivot should put barricades in front of the yeshivot, should put barricades in front of the yeshivot to protect that nobody should be able to do something wrong. And they sent a question to Rab Chaim Kinyevsky if they should do it or not. Rab Chaim Kinyevsky said, a person at a place that learns Torah doesn't need protection. No. Then he answered, no, I think maybe, yeah. Why? Because if people come into the yeshiva with cell phones, so the street, the Beit HaMidrash is connected to the street. So there's no more wall from the Beit HaMidrash. So there's no protection in the Beit HaMidrash. So you have to put up barricades. Do you understand what we just said? It's such a lesson. The connection that we have from inside to outside destroys the walls. Destroys the walls. There's no walls. There's no mechitzot. So how do we make Torah the kebayit? How do we make a bayit that we should have children in the bayit that we should be able to say, ah, look at the children that I have. Look at the beauty of these children. Look at the kedushah of these children. The more that the street is not entered the bayit, the more that we have a mechitzah, the more that we have a separation, the more that we are separated, the more that we build a mechitzah between us and the street, the more the kedushah in the bayit is. And the more you will see, the more you will see what we all want, the nachat that we should have from our children. Let me tell you one thing. All of us complain. I complain. You complain. Our children complain. Why we have to live in such an immoral and such a terrible world that we live in. I want to tell you one word of chizuk. One word of chizuk. If you see how immoral and how terrible the world is outside, then you know how important it is to live the way we live. 100 years ago, you could have made a mistake and joined the world outside. Today, it's so clear, so open, what the world outside brings you to. It's so clear and so open that if your children are not going to grow up in a home that has mechitzot, that has walls, you know what the street has to offer? I don't want to tell you what the street has to offer. The pritzut of the street is only the beginning of what the street offers. The street takes our children till she'ol tachtit, all the way till the she'ol. There was never such a world like there is today, till where they take a person, and it doesn't take a week, it doesn't take a month, it takes a day, it takes a half a day for a child to go down the drain. Last week we had a snowstorm. A snowstorm. And nobody realized that it was the Ribbono Shel Olam that brought it. Nobody realized. There were leaves on the trees, so the trees fell down. But that the Eibishter had something to do with it, nobody realized. But do you know what happened in the last week? Do you know why we have to really cry because of what happened in the last week? You know how many yeshivot HaKadoshot were closed in that last week? And you know how many Talmidim went down the drain and joined the street in the last week because the yeshivot were closed? Do you know how many neshamot we lost in that week? Do you know how many neshamot of boys and girls were lost in that week? It's not to believe. And then when the yeshiva opened up again on Sunday, and the children had to come back to yeshiva, what happened on Sunday night? On the way back to yeshiva, a terrible accident, and 2 boys were killed, Rachmana Litzlan, a 15-year-old and a 16-year-old. And when you hear such things, you realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waking us up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you something is wrong. Our houses are not the way it should be. We don't give enough protection to our children. We don't protect them enough from the street. We have to wake up and pick up our lives. Pick up our houses. Bring the Ribbono Shel Olam into our houses. Live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Live with the direction that we have to go up, not down. We have to go to Hashem. We have to go to Olam Haba. We have to build Olam Haba. And with that koach of realizing where we are going, not losing sight of where we are going, with that koach, we will be able to have a house. We will be able to bring up children. That when Mashiach will come, we'll be able to tell him, look what we brought you. Look what a present we brought you in this world. In this degraded, immoral world. Look at these beautiful neshamot that I brought down. Look at these beautiful neshamot that I brought up. See these children that I have. See the houses that we made in this world. And with that koach, we'll be zocher to the gula shleima b'mehera. Amen.